If you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke gives us a very full account of the experiences 2,000 years ago on the first Easter worship service. They had placed all their hope, all of their confidence in this one Jesus. And they had seen him crucified, and their hopes were dashed. In Luke chapter 24, we begin reading this morning at verse 13. And through the pen and the experience of this great epistle, we go back 2,000 years to experience again. But this morning, let's notice especially what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to communicate to his disciples after his resurrection. What did Jesus do to renew their hope, inspire their faith and confidence in him? The narrative begins in chapter 24, Luke, verse 13. Now behold, two of the disciples, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was when they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you talk and are sad?" Then one, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Now remember, this is Jesus leading the conversation. "What things?" he said. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he, Jesus, indicated he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they arose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together." Did you ever wonder what it would have been like to be in that meeting? That must have been a phenomenal experience, because it transformed the life of everyone in that room. Luke goes on in his narrative to give us a closer explanation of what Jesus wanted to accomplish in that meeting. He's the one who invaded the meeting. He's the one who joined the two men walking to Emmaus. He took the initiative. What's on his mind? What is it he wants us, 2,000 years later, to carry from this Easter Resurrection Sunday celebration? Listen as I read on. Luke chapter 24 and verse 33. The two men rose up and when they at that very hour and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened to them on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he said to them, "Peace to you." And they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. What was it Jesus wanted the disciples to understand? First of all, he wanted them to understand what had happened to him. He didn't want them to think that he had just disappeared. And he certainly didn't want them to think that he had returned in some spirit form. He is very concerned that his disciples understand that the resurrection had to do with his body, his physical body. "I want you to see," he said, "that it's me. It's me, myself. The same person that was crucified." As evidence of that, he showed them his hands and his feet. That's where the nail scars would have been. Evidence that the same one who was on the cross is now standing in their midst in the same body in which he was crucified. So the resurrection has to do with the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a metaphysical thing, not a spiritual thing. It's a very tangible, physical thing. "Here, handle me," he said. "Handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have." No wonder they were astonished. And while they're still struggling to interpret what this means, since he is in this body, the same body, and yet this body changed, this body transformed, this body re-energized. What does that mean about him and their relationship with him? Jesus wants them to know that that relationship that he had with them would continue. that his resurrection doesn't mean that he is distancing himself from them and leaving them behind. "Do you have any food?" he said. And when they offered food, he took it and ate it. Now, he wasn't just illustrating or demonstrating that his resurrection body was physical and real. He was also illustrating his desire to continue to fellowship with them, to have a relationship with them. You remember on the road to Emmaus, the two men recognized Jesus when he took bread and broke it, blessed it, and gave it to them in the middle of a meal. And then their eyes were opened, and they understood that this same Jesus in the same body in which they had seen him die on the cross had interrupted their trip to Emmaus. He had interrupted whatever agenda he had, whatever was important to him, had been set aside in order to come join two men walking on the road to Emmaus in order to strengthen their faith, in order to open their understanding, in order to give them a basis of hope far greater than any hope they had had before Calvary. Jesus wants us to know that this morning. He wants us to know that when the Bible talks about resurrection, it's not talking about some spiritual thing. It's talking about a physical thing. It's talking about a physical thing that affects the human body, his physical body. And he wants us to know that in his resurrection, he claimed his body back from death, energized it, glorified it, and lives in it. And in his resurrected body, he still wants fellowship with us. He still seeks to build a relationship with us. He still wants to seek us out when we're lonely, when we're discouraged, when we're despondent, when our faith fuel is almost spent. He wants to come alongside and communicate to us things that will strengthen our faith, lift our spirits, inform our minds, and direct our lives. He wants to fill us with his fellowship. But there's a second thing that Jesus Christ did. In both situations, both with the two men on the way to Emmaus and later with the whole crowd that was assembled there in the upper room, in both cases, he opens their eyes. He opens their understanding. This is the 35th time I've stood in front of you on an Easter Sunday morning and said, "Jesus is truly risen." And the burden over those years has been to put before you the physical evidences that substantiate my faith and is sufficient foundation for you to believe the same. We've talked at length about the grave clothes. We've talked about the angel rolling away the stone from the door. We've talked about the empty sepulcher. We've talked about the witness and testimony of the angels. We've talked and talked and talked and talked about all of these things that clearly point to the inescapable conclusion that Jesus Christ physically came back from the grave, not just to life, but to a new level of life. But you know what? If you're struggling this morning with all those evidences or in spite of those evidences, you've got good company. Both the two men on the way to Emmaus and the crowd in the upper room before Jesus appeared are inundated in evidences. They've seen the angel. They've heard the angels. They've visited the sepulcher. They've seen the grave clothes. They have had people tell them about all of these evidences, and you know what? They still don't get it. And they won't get it, and neither will you, until that second component is added to your investigation. What happened to Jesus in the resurrection is of such a different order of experience that you can't comprehend it unaided. Neither can I. It's not just that he came back from the grave. It's that he came back from the grave glorified. It's that he came back from the grave prepared to go immediately to heaven, which he did a few days later. It's not just that he lives, it's that he lives in a whole new order of being as the glorified, manifest God the Son, still in his human body he received through Mary. Now, you can't comprehend that. Science can't penetrate that. The only way you will ever, and they ever, understood this is when Jesus opened their eyes. Well, what I'm saying to you this morning is that this text supports the fact that I could lay out evidence after evidence after evidence from here all the way out to downtown Columbus, one every inch, and you could read every one of them and say, yeah, sure, yeah, well, yeah, grant you that, yeah, and you still won't get it. You won't get it. In order to comprehend and understand what took place in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its import to you, God must open your eyes. The Spirit of God must open your understanding. And sadly, many times on Easter Sunday, we try to force feed more evidences to folk who are struggling with all the evidences they already have. And what, my friend, you need is, you need God himself to open your mind, open your eyes. And that's not something you can do for yourself. It's not something I can do for you. It's not something anyone in this church can do for you. The angels couldn't do that. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its import to be understood, God himself needs to work a personal miracle of opening your eyes and illuminating your heart. And how does he do that? Jesus said to the two men on the road to Emmaus, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." That's a reference to this book, the Bible. In the upper room, after he ate the bread and the piece of fish and some honeycomb, after he ate it, he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." Jesus referenced his resurrection against the context and content of Scripture. If you don't know this book, you'll never have a clue what Jesus did, or why it's important, or what it means. First of all, Jesus wanted them to understand something of the nature of his experience. He was back from the grave in his physical body, the same body that had been crucified, and yet he was experiencing a life different and distinctively an order above what he had known with them while he was still with them, as he says. Secondly, he wanted to open their eyes. He wanted to unlock their understanding. Thirdly, he wanted them to know that this book is the manual. If you don't know this book, you'll never comprehend the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why it was important, and what that means to you. His language is very severe. He expected them to know the book. He expected them to be able to take what the book said and to say, aha, so that's what Jesus did. And he expected them to come away from that saying, aha, if that's what the book said and that's what Jesus did, then truly Jesus is God. And his resurrection not only demonstrates his deity, but it demonstrates his finished redemptive work for me. That's what he said. He said, thus it is written, thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations. You don't have a clue what that means, friend, if you do not understand or have acquaintance with the scriptures. Jesus wanted his disciples to see that his resurrection substantiated all the claims that he had made through his marvelous words and his mighty works, the miracles he had performed. He wanted them to see that he indeed was the one promised in the Old Testament. He wanted them to understand that he had come primarily to deal with their sins. And that in his resurrection, he has demonstrated that he is competent and capable of furnishing full and complete forgiveness of sins for anyone and everyone who will believe. If you do not know the scriptures, you can never understand the significance and meaning of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and his return to heaven, and his coming again to earth. Finally, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted his disciples to understand that the best is yet to come. See it there in verse 49? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was his preparation to return to heaven. And that had enormous implications for those who would trust him and commit their lives to him as Lord and Savior. Because he was going to send from heaven the promised Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God would now indwell every believer who had been forgiven of their sins, and empower them and strengthen them and encourage them and teach them and enable them to do everything that God desired them to do. What a tremendous promise. That God would no longer be distant and aloof. That God would no longer be over there in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. God would no longer be just walking in the flesh of one called Jesus, but this God, now through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and through the salvation made available and the forgiveness of the sins made available through his death and resurrection, now this great God would come and actually live in the life of every individual believer. Incredible. Those are the things that Jesus wanted that first Resurrection Sunday crowd to understand. Those are the things he wants us to understand. Yeah, someone will say, but so what? The mantra of the 21st century. So what? So what? Well, I'll tell you, so what? For those whose minds and hearts and eyes have been opened and they have comprehended that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of Scriptures, and they have understood that His death, burial, and resurrection was planned in order for God to be able to forgive us our sins and to make possible a relationship with Him. For those who have understood and experienced the Spirit of God coming to dwell in them, empowering them and instructing them, they have faced life with a whole new agenda. They have stood at an open coffin, an open gravesite, and smiled through their tears and said, "It's okay, Mom. I'll see you before long." They have released their loved ones through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that those loved ones are not going out in some purgatorial experience, suffering for sins. But they release their loved ones knowing that their sins are forgiven, and to be absent from the body, they're immediately present with the Lord. They themselves, these ones who have become believers in Jesus Christ, they have found great peace and confidence for themselves, not just in the face of death, but in the face of difficulty and struggle. Being able to access this one, Jesus Christ, who sits now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. They are able to go to Him in personal, intimate needs in prayer and watch and see and experience Him answer those needs in their hearts and lives. These folks who have come to this experience of faith in Jesus Christ and understanding how He fulfilled Scripture and the promises that His resurrection makes possible, these folks have been able to live every day with peace and joy and hope, knowing that for me, it's just going to get better, that this life is not all there is, that heaven is a real place, and that Jesus Christ, my Savior, is already there, and that He calls me and one day will take me to be with Him. So what? I'll tell you, so what, my friend. The people in that upper room and everyone who like them have come to understand these things that Jesus was concerned about, have been able to face life with confidence, peace, hope, absolute assurance. And that's why He arose from the grave. Take your hymn book there, would you, and turn to hymn 292. The Gaithers combined some years ago to try to put what I've just said into song. And they wrote a song, and it's entitled, "Because He Lives." And in the words of that song, Bill and Gloria expressed their confidence and hope, the wonderful peace and assurance and absolute confidence they have, because Jesus Christ lives, because He is resurrected, and because their eyes have been opened and their understanding has been illuminated and they have seen the significance of what that means. And they have appropriated to their own hearts. Because He lives, they wrote in the refrain, in the chorus, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. All fear is gone. Those who know the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ personally can sing that with great confidence and great assurance. And they can sing that tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Saturday morning, not just Sunday morning. Because their relationship with the risen Christ Jesus is not only vital and dynamic, but it communicates to them the resources they need by the Holy Spirit to face life on life's ugliest terms and live triumphantly and without fear. Even death. That's what that third stanza is all about. Even death holds no fear for the one who has placed their faith and confidence in the risen Christ. Even death holds no fear. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not understand the significance of why His resurrection matters, I ask you this morning to ask Him to do for you what He did for these folks, to take them beyond the evidences into the understanding of why His resurrection is so important, to lead you into the Scriptures so that for yourself you can examine the evidences, and to lead you into an experience of trusting Him so that all of these marvelous, wonderful, thrilling blessings can become yours through faith in Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for the great assurance, not just the evidences, but the tremendous fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life and forgiveness, the hope of eternity that He gives to us because He is alive. We thank You that in His resurrection body we see a picture of the body that someday each of us who know Him and love Him will enjoy. In His home in heaven we see our home, and we thank You that His presence there is sure and certain promise that we too someday will be like Him. I pray this morning for anyone in this audience, in the sound of my voice, who is not certain of their eternal forgiveness of sins, who does not have that relationship with You. I pray that You would open their heart, their mind, their understanding, open their eyes, and give to them, we pray, that experience of conversion and new life. Now take us to our places to celebrate, to tell others, to share with those all around us the good news of this risen Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.